Welcome to New Generation Church with Pastor Efren Lopez.
Give the Lord, if you want to give the Lord a praise, give the Lord a praise. Amen. Last Wednesday, I was sharing with you guys that Pastor was asking me, he mentioned, you know, pray for the marriages, and we should always. And I felt it in my heart to start this short series about marriages. And to the aspect that we touched on Wednesday, many people, I'm gonna be honest with you. You gotta be open, and this is faith, amen. This is gonna be only through faith and trusting in God. And many people want the advice, but when they get it, it's too much for them. Or when it's about counseling, or they're like, no, I'm gonna be confronted with my truth, with my weaknesses, with my flaws. And so I'd rather be, you know, plead the fifth, you know, and not show up. But you showed up, because regardless if it is for marriage or not, this could be helpful to you in any relationship with your sons, with your spouse, with, of course, with your family, anybody. Amen? So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to speak today on a topic related to relationships. Last Wednesday, we spoke about boundaries. We spoke about how to stay yourself while being united without being selfish. You know what I mean? Be yourself without being selfish. Do not infringe on your spouse's or your son's or your husband's personal integrity, I guess. There's a spiritual life, their emotional life. In order to be healthy, and there's a way to do it. So today, even if your spouse's not here, take it and use it and run with it. Amen. So communication, one of the first things that we got to learn is to manage your conflict. This is the topic of today. Because it is no denial that conflict will show up into your life. As a matter of fact, you need conflict in your life to grow. It's not possible for you to grow or for you to mature or for you to handle life's problems or situations without learning how to manage conflict, because conflict is necessary. It's a natural part of the human interaction. When there's two parties, there's always friction. There's always tension. There's a colliding of worlds. When you come together, there's heat. Lord have mercy. And sometimes are things that are common, like different conflictive desires, expectations. I expected you to have me on $100,000 home already, or a salary already, so we can buy our $500,000 home. I thought we moved to San Diego by now. I expected you 3 a.m. to get up and start moving the palote and start making me tour every morning. Expectations, and we have conflict because of expectations. Don't think that you have a como se dice, Príncipe Azul. You have a charming Prince Charming. Oh, that's what I want. If you don't make, after, you know, he needs to be 6'5". He needs to make over 200,000, because that's what I'm worth. Now let me do it the other way. I want somebody to, you know, as soon as I, you know, snap my fingers, right there, yes, honey, whatever you need, whatever you want. Expectations. Expectations can be deceiving, especially when you're selfish. Pride, Lord have mercy. Pride is a big one, and we all have it. Don't say amen. Some of us play it off, oh, I'm good. It don't bother me. You know, I mean, it me afecta. Yeah, it's bothering you. It's how do you manage it? How do you manage it? Selfishness, of course, we all are selfish a certain degree. That's why when we have boundaries, it's to keep your selfishness in check. Amen? So insecurities, they drive a lot of conflict. Violation of boundaries. Children can be in conflict. Money. is going to bring the best or the worst in you. And it's going to bring conflict. And of course, sin just in general. So we cannot avoid conflict. So it is not even healthy to avoid conflict. Did you know that? I'm an avoider. I try to avoid it, but when it's here, there, I got nowhere to go. I'm stuck against the wall, and I have to confront it. As a matter of fact, here again, Proverbs 27:17 says that the iron sharpens iron, and God uses conflicts and other people to shape his image in you. He's going to expose your weakness, for sure. The worst of you is going to come out. Don't say amen, but this is exactly, I know the Lord speaking. And you cannot avoid it. Dr. Judy Wallerstein says that the number one indicator of the incoming divorce, check this out, is the absence of conflict. There's calm and peace. Es el ojo del huracán, the center of the hurricane, the eye of the hurricane. Why? Why is it that divorce is imminent when you stop having conflict? Believe it or not, I have conflict with Joanna every morning. When I want to get a cup, on Sunday mornings, I want to get that green cup to put an energy drink. And that's a time when she's making her breakfast. So I got to be, Lord have mercy. Got to wait to, conflict, it can be managed different. And we're going to get to that. Number one, it means that you have abandoned your identity from one another. I'm a husband. The only reason I'm a husband is because I have a wife. The only reason you're a wife is because there is a husband. Amen. So you have abandoned that identity and you say, I don't feel connected to this person no more. I don't even feel committed to this person. Those are feelings. I mean, this can be reverted. There's only, number two, there's only superficial communication. Ah, sí, ya te, sí, ya fui. Yo los levanto a los niños. I'll pick them up. Whenever I get off of work, cuando sale el trabajo. Ah, okay. All right. I'll go take him to Taekwondo or whatever. Everything's superficial. Superficial. Number three. You or both of you or one of them don't care no more. I don't importa. I don't care. Not good. So if there is conflict, absence of conflict doesn't mean that things are good. It means something's cooking. Under. Ronald Reagan, President of the United States, said, the absence of peace, peace is not the absence of conflict. Peace is the ability to manage conflict in a peaceful manner. Because when you think of conflict, you think of battle, war. You think of battlefield, violence, destruction. And it doesn't have to be that way. You can take different ways. You know what's ironic? Some of you guys, I swear I love you the rest of my life. Oh, I'm in love. Woo! De aquí a la luna, pídeme la luna. Ask for the moon, I'll bring it back. And now that used to be your closest ally. Oh, yeah. And now they're your worst enemy. And you have a war at home every time for the littlest thing sometimes. So you guys swore faithfulness. But now you guys are enemies, hurting and damaging one another and damaging your relationship. Because some of these things happen when you want to deal with conflict. This is what's happening to you. Oh, yeah. Things that are hurtful to the relationship. Intimidation. Character attacks. You this, you that. You're not this, you're not that. You leave criticizing. You live with a criticizing spirit. You don't respect one another. You throw tantrums and you physically abuse. For sure, nobody did not disagree that is not helpful. That you have a problem. You can win the discussion, for sure. You won the round, but you're gonna lose the battle on your children, on your spouse, on your marriage, permanently. You know what? You want to, this is the intro. I'm just kidding. Just think about that. I want you to reflect on that. Don't think that I'm going hard because this is just reality. And one of the things that I think right here, Some people are hungry to receive this. They need it. They want it. That's what I'm coming to church. I need some of this too. I want my faith to grow, but I want some guidance also. But some people won't want this. It's hard to receive. But if you're hungry, here it goes. Things that may conflict worse. Ephesians 4:31. Let's go to Ephesians 4:31. You guys with me? Amen. Ephesians 4:31. If you want to share this, I would be very appreciative if you did, honestly. I think it would help somebody. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to go to the New Living Translation. It's Ephesians 4:31. Ephesians 4 is the life in the spirit. Martin Luther would call this the house rules. How to behave at home kind of thing. And this is one of them. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. And this is that word, evil behavior, I'm going to focus today. In Spanish, it says maliciousness or malice or malicia. So when you're doing things because you know that down deep you're trying to hurt somebody, or you're doing it with the wrong motives. Amen? Number one, cold shoulder, the silent treatment. It's okay to be quiet when you say, you know what I'm going to say is going to... It's okay to be tense for a few minutes. I understand. It's okay to see somebody and struggle to, okay, I'm gonna keep it cool. But when you prolong this tension, when you make it long, it's working as a manipulative tool for emotions. You're trying to mess with their emotions, their mind. Avoid cold shoulders or avoid silent treatment for prolonged times to hurt somebody. You want to teach a lesson, but it ends up being a mental game, and it's gonna wear you out emotionally and spiritually. For sure. And guess what? It's a trap. It won't help. Oh yeah, I got the upper hand right now. It's not working. Because we want to teach you to communicate and resolve conflicts in a way that is helpful. Number two, sarcasm. Woo! I love sarcasm. I love a good laugh, you know. Joanna and I, we use sarcasm a lot, you know, joke around, nos carcajeamos, we laugh at each other. And we say comments, I think it's cool in the context. Sarcasm in itself is not a sinful thing. And you can use it to make somebody reflect, hey, well, how about this? But you know what I mean. Being ironic, and ironies are funny. Yet, when you're in the middle of a conflict, something in an informal conversation with a coworker, está bueno, hey, it makes me laugh. But when you're in a conflict, instead of being a secret weapon, it's more like a hole in the wall, and the enemy is gonna walk right past that wall and is gonna conquer you. Sarcasm is not a secret weapon. Yeah, voy a sacar ahorita una patada de cara. It's not going to work for you. Don't use sarcasm because, mi mamá sí le hablaba, mi papá, my mom or my dad will always humiliate my mom and be sarcastic. I wasn't even in love with you. Yeah, I don't even want to touch that. But I've heard people say, you weren't my first choice anyway. I'm only here with, if I wasn't for sarcasm, it's not going to help you. If they bring you flowers from Walmart, don't be like, ooh, I wish they were from, from Rosie's. Just take them. I mean, just be grateful that they're bringing you flowers, Ay, son del agua. Be careful with raising your voice, the volume of your voice. It complicates things. It gives you a message of aggressiveness. It distortions the message. Think about when we play and somebody's voice is too loud, or the speakers are set up too loud, and the speaker starts cutting because it says the message is getting distortion. And if something is not personal, it becomes personal. Oh, now it's on. You want to yell? I'm louder. And we start competing. So see who has the supremacy of the battle. Murmuring. I thought murmuring was more like venting. Be careful who you vent with. I'm all about, you know, somebody listening and give you an advice. But listen to the advice. But murmuring is speaking in between your teeth. You're doing things, but you're complaining and grumbling and disgust. It tells you that you have bad thoughts and bad attitudes, even though you're doing things. So, don't be saying, oh, I'm always doing this, doing that. But when the message over here, the actions speak louder than words. And I tell you what, this action of murmuring is overtaking you. So the rest, no matter what you did, it doesn't count. I say, mira, oxymoron. Tachado. It's an oxymoron. It cancels itself. So don't be, if you're going to do it, learn to not be grumbling. Listen what happened to Israel in the desert. And don't grumble as some of them did. And they were destroyed by the angel of death. This was Israel walking through the desert, kicking their feet. Todo yo. We're always hungry. We're always thirsty. Siempre esta mujer no se porta este hombre. And I'm here doing things. It's hard. But don't fall in that trap. Conflict, healthy conflict will strengthen your marriage. Reconciliation will strengthen your marriage. Understanding that if something is amiss, let's give it some time. Let's talk it over. Let's do it. Let's fix it. And let me tell you, when you guys come in a core peace, you know, I think, oh, this is not bad. You know, lo que me está perdiendo, I was missing out. Thank you, you know, thank you for showing me that. Or gracias por, thank you for the perspective. Gracias por la perspectiva. You will have a stronger marriage. And we're going to go into some of the attitudes that happen. Learn to treat disagreements, because we all have them, without hurting one another. Resolving your arguments in the spiritual realm first, and then in the marital daily aspect of it. What do I mean by that? That we have a spiritual battle, like Brother Angel said. That our battle is not against flesh and blood, but thoughts and attitudes and emotions and memories and hurt and pain. You can't argue through pain. Your pain is not a good counselor. Your hurt is not a good counselor. Being offended is not a good counselor. Stick to the cross. Stick to Jesus. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 to 5, it says, we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning. If you listen to podcasters that are red pillars, extreme male dominance, the inconsiderate humiliators of women, it's manly counsel. And it's going to destroy young men, and it's going to distort what God wants him to be. Who want a real man of prayer, a real man of love. But if you listen to podcasts that talk about the supremacy of women, you're going to miss out on the godly woman that God wants you to be. Definitely use, it says, not manly wisdom, but godly wisdom. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture our rebellious thoughts. Santo! En español se ve mejor. Tomar todo pensamiento cautivo. Or captivate, or like it says right here, keep them under captivity and teach them to obey Christ. Your spirit, your conflict can be resolved in the spiritual first if you took a time to pray. If you took a time to pray what we're going to do. There's issues in my house. Do not hesitate. If your spouse says, my uncle's in the hospital, let's pray. Do not hesitate to say, let's pray. And if your spouse says, let's pray, do not hesitate to say, amen. Don't matter if you don't feel like praying, just take it. And know that even if your heart is hard, the heart of the Lord is not hard. The Lord is listening to your prayer about conflict. Max Lucado, a pastor, very famous pastor, he says that conflict is inevitable, but a battle is optional. So it's your choice. So how do we do that? How do we resolve conflict in the Christian context or in the biblical sense? Are you guys with me? All that I said might apply or might not apply to you, but whatever it does, say there is a way out of this, but it's going to take faith. So you're going to have to have an attitude of collaboration. All right? An attitude of collaboration. There's 5 ways that we can resolve conflict together. You know that we can resolve conflict together? Maybe right now it's not the moment, but can you help out your case by the conflict? Oh, before I continue, let's digress. Let me see. I'm going to do a test right now. Don't lift up your hand, but think about who you are and how you operate. This is how God made you. And so this is your challenge to overcome. These are the styles and tendencies of how to handle conflict. The avoider. The disconnected one. Ah, sí, lo que sea. Lo que quieras, ya no me estés, déjame ver la tele. Let me watch TV. Whatever you want to do. Esto está pasando, the house is on fire. Ah, sí, está bueno. The kitchen is burning, do something about it. I don't want to argue. Some people lose their marriage because they are avoiders and they really don't want to do the hard work. How many avoid conflict? I'm one of those that I try it, but if it's in front of my face, then I'm going to have to do it. But if it was up to me, I would avoid it. But I think I accepted that there's no way that I can live life with avoiding conflict. I think I came to terms with that. Number 2, the pleaser. The pleaser always says, okay, está bueno. And you can become a puppet of the other person. That is not healthy. Oh, yeah, it works for me. Oh, yeah. You are not allowing your spouse to flourish. You're not allowing your kids to flourish. All you do is whatever I want, however I want it. There's people that are very direct and yell and control with volume, right? But there's people that are very, like, manipulative. Okay. All right. Okay. What if this? But I already bought it. And you're like, okay, I'm not going to win. And you give up. Don't give up. Don't be a pleaser. But I'm not saying be a rascal, you know, be rough, you know, and like, ah. But don't be a pleaser just for the sake of pleasing, because you can get into trouble later with boundaries, with sin. And sometimes just because, you know, I think don't be afraid of the devil. And you guys that have barely started a relationship, especially you guys, if he loses his control from before your marriage, it's like, that's got to stop. Don't even flinch. Just act like that. Walk away. That's got to stop. And I don't think this is going to work. And say, you know, so that way, I know somebody, a friend of mine, they told, you know, not me, of course. You know, you gotta tone it down sometimes. You know, you lose your snap a little bit. Do you think she magically made that disappear in my life? No. But it kept me in check. You know, I think this is an area that I don't want to, you know, we've grown up. But if she was a pleaser, I would still be like ranting and blah, 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 blah. Get in my way. But that's not what it's all about. the competitive, the competitor. You don't accept any discussion. I'm gonna go all the way. I gotta win it. I have to win it. Sometimes in marriage, you're gonna walk away thinking that you lose. Oh, un empate, there was a tie. Have you ever heard those games in football? They're like, hey, you know what? The Chiefs took the, you know, last Super Bowl. I think it was the Chiefs against who? Who did they lose to? The Eagles, right? I was thinking the Eagles. I want to say that the Chiefs won, right? But then everybody was saying, oh, but the Eagles played better. It didn't matter. Who won? I won. You know, the Chiefs can say, we won. You can say the same thing in your marriage. We won. But then the criticism is like, man, but you play really bad. And that's in marriage, it's not about what you win. It's how you handle it. Is did you win the relationship? Not only that, but does that person grow? Are you growing? It's not about competing. And some of us both, imagine two competitive people at home. Somebody needs to be the bigger person, but firm. You walk away like you lost, but you just drop the mic. It's like, I'm going to let the Lord work right now. One of the things that I've seen in my home and family members is that one. If the person walks away still mad or still not agreeing with you 100%, you're like, no. You're going to agree with me right now. You're going to say, you were right. You were right. That's not how it works. Let the Lord work. Let the Lord work. Amen. Battle in the spirit. Let the Lord work. The compromise guy, the guy with compromises. Okay, all right. Let's do that. But I'm not too sure. And you're not opening up. And you compromise your principles, your values, your faith. This happens a lot in marriages that are unequal yoked. You have faith, you're a Christian, they're not. And guess what happens? You compromise, okay, let's go to the party, just back complete, just to. And then you're compromising your principles. My mom, and this is not against our own judger, but she had a compromise. We were baptized in the Catholic faith, even though she wasn't a Catholic. She had a compromise, her faith. And some of us do that. We go into relationships and we compromise once, and you're always expected expectations to compromise. You're always expected. Just like when you bribe a cop or a CO. Don't COs here, Lord have mercy. When you bribe a U.S. Customs, you start with big. You're like, here you go. And then it's more and more with less and less pay. And more fear. I'll give you $3,000 for a cell phone. Okay. The next time, so I'll give you two. No, you did three last time. Well, not anymore. Now I can do 1,000 if I want. And now you're bound. Same thing with a compromiser. Be careful. What should we do then? We need to be collaborators. Sometimes you die to self. Without being pleaser. Without being inflexible. Without being competitive, but with it, sometimes your boundaries, you gotta watch those. But you always look to resolve without avoiding. Resolve without avoiding. You know, it's the elephants in the room already. It's like hard to ignore. It's there, no way around it. But. You compromise, but then you input too. You collaborate. You can do a little bit of everything in the sense that you're not avoiding. You're collaborating. You walk away feeling like, you know, I said the truth. I'm going to stick to my guns, but I'm not going to fight right now. I'm not going to go with it. I'm still going to do it only if it is in the right spirit. Because some of us are hard. We're hard. We have a very strong will, and we don't use it to collaborate. We use it to compete. We use it to enforce it. We use it to avoid. I'm not going to do it. I'm. Because you could be an avoider without be, and still be strong-willed. I'm walking away with my, ah, sí, mero. Right? I said, okay, but I mean, it's okay. I don't want to hear you, but I'm still thinking the same thing I thought. So be a collaborator. Fight and hold every thought captive. How do we collaborate? We need to come to agreements and compromises. We need to find a middle ground. Amos 3:3. Let's go to Amos 3:3. You guys with me? All right. Amos 3:3 says, that's a book in the Bible. It's one of the minor prophets. Can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? And God is telling Israel, can I be with you and you be with me if we are not in agreement? That's impossible. That's when long-term committed marriage is monogamous. Committed marriage becomes something that it's almost like an impossibility for people. We think that it's not possible. And I'll tell you what, if you guys don't work together, collaborate, and committedly, it won't work. If one of you walks away, let it not be you and say, you know what, I did what I could. I did my part. But do your part. Amen. Number two, there's occasions that we need to die to self and allow our spouse to get their way. Because sometimes they're right. Not all the time, but sometimes. And sometimes you're right and they're not. Be humble to understand the difference. And don't be prideful to say, well, she got it right last time. I got to get it right this time, you know. One and one, well, no. Especially when you're dealing with principles of life. Especially when you're dealing with respect. Especially when you're dealing with boundaries and stuff like that. So, you got to collaborate without being too much of a pleaser. Amen? But it has to be careful, because if it doesn't happen, if you are not walking in faith, the danger here is that you become a pleaser or somebody that's a puppet. Here we go again. So let's go to Philippians. This is what Jesus did. Are you collaborating or are you competing? Are you avoiding? Are you compromising? He overwhelms me. He outpowers me. Philippians 2, 5, 8. You must have the same attitude that Christ had. Though he was God, he did not think equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And he appeared in human form. Let us have the same attitude that Christ had. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Are you humbling yourself in obedience to God in your relationship? Are you humbling yourself to serve? And that goes both ways. Are you being a servant? Even though God made you a princess, are you lowering yourself to be a servant? God made you the head of the household, but are you lowering, are you being Christ in your home to serve and die and give yourself for your wife and spouse? And does that depend on their performance, or does that depend on your conviction of faith? Gosh, well, I wish it was different. We all wish we were different, I'm sure. We had expectations, but we cannot cling to those. We have to be humble and serve one another and practice serving each other. Happiness won't come when you pursue it. Happiness will come as a product of what you pursue. Serving, loving. I love a song. There's a song that came out in 2005, I think. And I think it's Tim McGraw. It's a country song, so they have a lot of message sometimes. And it said that when they diagnosed him with cancer, he changed the way he did things. He was daring. He went and did things that were he'd never do. But then he changes the verse and he says, this is the song. I love deeper, I spoke sweeter, and I forgave. And those are the things that we do maybe in our deathbed. Don't wait till your deathbed to say, I'm blessed to have you in my life. Don't wait till your deathbed to say, instead of a hindrance, you're a blessing to my life. I'm glad you're still with me. And maybe today you're separated. Maybe today this is not working. But take it and say, I'm going to apply this with other relationships. And I'm going to let God deal with my marriage. Maybe you guys are separated. Maybe it's going to be a tough road ahead to do this. But if you guys have chosen to be together in proximity and geography, in other words, in the same household, then start applying this now. And if not, and if you, the Lord allows you to restore your marriage and gives you an opportunity, start setting those boundaries and start learning yourself how to handle conflict yourself. Don't get muddy. Because you know what happens when you play mud fights? I was playing with the boys yesterday. You know what happens? One, you get dirty and then you lose the floor where you were standing at. You start plucking the floor where you're standing. You start, you know what I mean? You're losing your ground. Lord have mercy. You need to pray. Pray alone. Pray always. Pray together. Like I said before, do not take for granted the opportunity to pray. That's too much. Let's pray. It's too much. Before we're going to spend money, let's pray. Let's have a money. Ya les dije yo, let's have a money date. Let's pray. Hey, I want to do this with the kids. Obus, let's pray. Don't be the person. Please, please, please be sensitive to the Spirit. Like I said, you might not feel like it. Maybe you're not moved like that. I mean, you're wired differently. But God is listening. God is listening. Maybe you're not the person that is like, maybe you're defaulted to say, I gotta fix it. And you forget that you have a God that you can make a pause and say, it's in your hands, and I'm gonna act in your hand, in your faith. You know why? Because if things don't go the way you asked at the moment, you can rest and like, I know God has got my back. And sometimes the devil likes to do that, to overcharge you with negative emotions, because if anything, maybe the result was not in that prayer itself, but your reaction might have been in that prayer. You're handling the conflict. The way you continue and persevere in faith was in that prayer. Maybe the result was not in that prayer, but the way you guys are going to come together as a marriage is in that prayer. Don't be lazy and not pray. Don't avoid prayer. Ay, entonces, padre, don't avoid it. Pray always. Even though sometimes I pray and Joanna's like, hey, you're falling asleep. One time I was like, she shook me. It's like, are you done? I was like, did I finish prayer? But there's days that I do pray for specific stuff. I do pray for our marriage, for purity, for faithfulness. For our children, they have their weaknesses. They got things that we need to work on actively. We need to engage. We can't ignore it. So we got to pray for that. Money, ministry, attitude. Even though you have faith that God has you where he has you, sometimes we get negative attitudes about work, about, you know, all that. But we need to pray and let the Holy Spirit work. Matthew 18:20. Says that whenever someone sins against you, you need to bring it up and try to resolve it. It says, for where two or three are gathered together as my followers, I am there among them. You know what the context is? If somebody is having conflict with you, this is what the context is. Talk to them. If they listen, good. If not, bring help. Bring help, bring the pastor, bring a friend. Somebody that's going to help you, not somebody that's going to say, ya, déjalo. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work. Even though we want it, I think we know down deep that truthfully, there's things that we can do to save. There's things that we can do to overcome, to help us forgive, to help us restore. And we usually say, or two or three are gathered for a service, God is there. But God is with you even in the most uncomfortable moments of your life, where two or three. So imagine you guys both as a marriage, as a situation that nobody else has. Or maybe others have lived through, but you guys never handled it together. I'm going to talk to you guys, blended families. You guys need to pray more even. You guys need to not waste time to put prayer in the midst of you guys, because you guys definitely come to an agreement and you need prayer and God with you guys. All of us need it, but especially when there's children, when there's, you guys know what I mean. You guys know exactly. I'm not going to go further. And you have to wait in God. Look what Philippians, let's go back to Philippians 4. Thank you, Lord. Nuggets. Some of you guys, dating couples. This is your time to be mature and speak up. This is the time to speak up in time. Speak up in time. Be ready to say no more. Pray. Don't get involved intimately, because it's going to be harder. It is intimacy like that is designed for you guys to connect. That's why it's hard to disconnect later. It hurts so much. It's like, man, I don't even like her. But now I feel, I got to stay now. It shouldn't be that way. There's a lot of doubts when you get married. But things fall into place when you trust God. And so, this is the time to learn to collaborate. Philippians 4, 6 to 7 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Oh my gosh. Pray about everything, lo que sea, whatever it is, a job, whatever it is. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. You cannot change the situation you guys are in. You cannot change how you handle past conflicts, but you can definitely trust God on what's coming next and how you guys are going to walk together. So if your dream was Friday night movies, you know, or being at the house on Saturday, the kids come over, everything's great. Maybe that's the case with you, but aren't you glad you have somebody you can go through in life, in the war, in the bad situation, in the worst moments, so you can enjoy the good moments because you've been through a lot and you've resolved it good. You have peace. So you might say, well, I am always having bad situations with my spouse, more than the good ones. As a matter of fact, I'm afraid to ruin the good ones because the bad ones are just always there. Flip it and say, handle the bad situations. They're going to come. You can't pick your children. You can't choose what they're going to battle with. How are we going to do it together? Do you know that homes where parents might not be that close, but They sit at the table and they say, this kid was not finishing his homework. And this kid was going out there with his friends and he was biking in school hours. And we're going to get him in trouble and we're going to do something about it, Tyler. You know that even though there might be sad statistically in their mind, they're like, my parents are working together and they care for me and they care for the family. Sit at the table and said, este hombre, Efraín, mira lo que hizo at school. Oh, we're going to handle that. Have you talked to him? Yes. Okay, I don't want to see that. Situations will come, and the way you handle it, your family will benefit from. And believe me, things are going to happen, and the good moments are going to be even sweeter because you know that you guys didn't leave anything, any hurt, or any more things that you guys regret. Amen? So establish good boundaries. We spoke about that last week. Let God work, except when it's something immoral, when it's something sinful, addiction, immorality. The Bible says in Psalms 1, 2, blessed is the man that did not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And sin should not be something that your spouse is expected to cover for you, to enable you. Amen? Seek for mediation when it's necessary. Sometimes opening up is hard. Trusting somebody is hard. And this is going to sound crazy because a lot of people say that they do everything. I do everything. I did my part. Sometimes the solution is easier than you think. But because you guys are in a bad conflict, ni pa atrás ni pa adelante, you guys are stuck. You guys. Sometimes the issue, when you look in retrospect, man, I could have done so many things different. And it would have been good. I would have stimulated in her, or I would have provoked in him to be the man or a woman that she could have been. I didn't have to tell her that she wasn't like my mom. My mom was a better wife, or my dad, or whatever. I didn't have to do that. I'm just giving you examples that I heard, not me. But they told me that example. Don't compare them. Don't compare them to how I or how. My last one was better. I don't know if that's happening. I hope it's not. But I know that when we're mad, we say things that we cross the line sometimes. I should have me hubiera casado con el. I should have married the Hilfigers from Hopeville. Me hubiera casado con el Hilfiger. Me andaba buscando, andaba tras de mis huesos. She was with me. And now I'm with you. Estoy contigo. Don't more. No more. Yo me rayé. Yo me rayé. Legacy. So I'm going to give you, to finish off, I'm going to give you principles of healthy communication, just nuggets. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:14, and in the multitude of counsel, the battle is won. That's why I said sometimes the solution is simpler than you think. But we cling to our pride, and we cling to our ways, and we cling to our anger and hurt, and it just doesn't work that way. Sometimes you need somebody to call you out in love. Amen? And listen and guide you both. Don't be afraid of counseling. Amen? Don't be afraid of counseling. Don't be afraid. And if you come out better, then the other person has responsibility over their own. Amen? Advices. It's going to be long, but I'm just going to go through them. When it's possible and you want to communicate without, and avoid this conflict, make the effort, if possible, to prepare the terrain and the atmosphere. Don't do it in anger. Prepare the terrain. Try to make it in a situation where you're not going to affect others. Remember, you're not enemies. No, you guys are not enemies. You guys are on the same team. You guys are not adversaries. The devil is your adversary. accept their difference, gender difference or sexual difference, and personality. There's things that I cannot change. Differences. I can tell you many, but understand that you can't change someone, but you can provoke, or you can stimulate, or you can help them behave better, or act better, or be better in the Lord. So you can't change. Accept their differences. Joanna doesn't water my plants. Yeah, I'm enojé. I'm done. But the kids do. The kids do. And they do it, and I pay them, and I'll give them their money here. I don't pay them every time, but I'm giving money. Here you go. You've been taking out the trash, you know, stuff like that. But just because of that, I'm not going to, like, hate her. Establish boundaries. We spoke about, if you don't know how to do boundaries, go to the last sermon on Wednesday and look at that video. It is going to help you. Respect the limit, the boundaries. Respect her, respect him. Don't push him to make him mad. Respect him. That's the line. You already know. Don't, unless it's something that is affecting the whole family and you have to stand your ground in love, doesn't mean that you have to resolve it right there and then. It might take some time. But always show respect and love. Listen before you answer. Santo Padre. Ask and clarify. This is what I'm understanding. Is that what I'm understanding? No. This is what I meant. Did you say that? Okay, I understood this. The messaging is coming. I'm sorry, but that rubs me funny. Can you say that again? Because I want to understand. I've always saying you, instead of saying it, say, this is what I perceive, instead of saying, tú, you are the problem. You know what? There is a problem and we need to fix it. And I don't know what to do. And are you willing to, it's there instead of like, tú siempre, and you always. I'll tell you, maybe you're right. Maybe you are right. But we're humans and we're funny and we're hard and we're messy. And at that moment, maybe it's an issue of wisdom and not an issue of whether you're right or wrong. Don't criticize. Don't make it a habit to be a critical spirit. Be a building spirit. Don't always start criticizing. I always tell people that I used to poke my nose in public a lot. Just not self-awareness. I'm being real. Just don't do it in public. And Joanna will be like, can you not do that in public? Okay. You know. But now, for a long time I wasn't doing it. Now, if she was saying, elk, puerco, wow, at the end of the day, the problem is how she treated me disrespectfully. Do I do that? We all do it. But not in public. I'm a little more self-aware for her. You know? I'm keeping it. Work to resolve and don't attack. Attacks, like we said already, work to resolve. Recognize your part in contribution. Maintain, look, keep it to the point. And don't start bringing other things. If it's about the laundry, it's about the laundry. My mom did my laundry, Joanna. What's up? Well, I bet you this, she didn't do that. And this and that. And you're really bad at compliments or whatever. But it's about, keep it. Like 2 or 3 years ago, this is what you said and this is what you did. With something unrelated, You said something about my kids or whatever. Or said something about the kids. It's just about this. And so we cannot mix things, mature and say, Lord, help me not mix things when I'm mad. Because when I'm mad, I'm always remembering, ¿cómo hijo esta mujer? Always. This is not the first time. And every time I go. And then you cool off and you're like, that's not true. The devil is trying to get you to remind you, so you use the weapons to destroy. Don't. Hey, Don't seek to always be winning agreement. Tiene que estar de acuerdo con, she needs to be in accordance with me. Do not do it in front of the children. That's an old one. It's one of the oldest nuggets. If you have a disagreement, sometimes I see that we don't always look eye to eye in front of the kids, and we just kind of, okay, well, the kids know what's going on. But if they see you react maturely, guess what you're doing to them? This is how you handle conflict. It will be, I'm not saying yelling, oh yeah, let them hear, open the door so they can hear. No. But, you know, there's going to be moments where, like, we're going to have discussions. I got a ticket the other day, and I just stayed quiet. She's talking to me, trying to talk to me. I'm like, oh, I don't feel good right now. All right, okay. We got to the store, talk it over, let my thoughts out. Okay. But never did she... Oh, what is she? She kept on trying, like, are you okay? Like, I'm not okay. But tension will see in you, and the kids will pick up the tension. But if they see you react in a godly way, in a patient way, they will get that as a message. This is how you handle conflict. Fight clean. Don't manipulate. Don't mention past. Don't exaggerate. Don't use punishment or silence. Don't use sarcasm, like we said. Don't use nicknames that are offensive. My mom didn't like the. No le gustaba que le dijeran Leona. Y no le dijo, una vez se lo dijo. She's like, not me. La Leona no le gustan los apodos. La único apodo que le gusta es, o que tolera es flaca, because they called her all her life. And she's like, I don't have nicknames. But I'll let you slide on that one. All right. So así le digo. Faquita. But gordo. Si me dice gordo, si me enojo. No, she doesn't even. I don't even have to tell her. Don't call me gordo. Okay, I'll take it personal. Tengo traumas de niño. So you guys might have nicknames. I'm not against them, but tonta, tontita. You guys know that that's not healthy. You know? If it's okay, it needs to be in agreement. All I'm saying. Don't sometimes, because sometimes we can't like openly like get someone, so we throw little jabs, despacito, fellita o que sea, gordita. Es que si le digo se enoja, pues le voy a tirar. No attack. Do not attack character, and don't use anger to dominate. Don't use anger to dominate. Use a timeout. Okay, we'll get to it later. Let me just go pray. I'll get to it later. Offer solutions. Don't just my way, but a solution, a middle ground. Plan how we're going to make these changes, especially when it's massive changes of maybe moving or maybe getting another house. And if you need to, go to the Lord. Go to counseling. Seek someone to help you out. Do I know? I agree that not all marriages come to a restoration, especially when there's hardness of heart. But I'm rooting for you that your marriage will make a turn. Stand to your feet. We're gonna pray. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at etngchurch.com.